Good morning.
Good morning,
and love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to continue with the series 40 Days in the Word, and how the Bible changes us is the topic today. As we know, the Bible is not like any other book. It's holy. That means it's set aside for God's purpose. It has supernatural power to change things. And why is that? It's because it's God's Word. It's not man's Word. Psalm 33, 6, it talks about how everything in the universe was spoken into existence just with the Word of God. God just spoke a word and it came into being. The Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the Word and all the stars were born. He simply spoke and it happened. So if we're reading this, there's power in this, right? It's not just a regular book. And this power of God is available to us through the Bible, through His Word. John 6:63. Jesus said, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." So God's Word is not just merely words. It's alive. And the question is, do you want life? No, nobody does. It's too early for life, right? Yes, we want life, right? Okay. Dwight Moody, the famous preacher, said, "The Bible was not written to increase our knowledge, but to change us." And he's right on. It was written to change us. So how does God's living Word change me? There's seven ways. Number one, it recreates my life. James 1:18, he chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. Without God's Word, we wouldn't be saved, all right? Because we wouldn't know of Jesus Christ, the Word of God that came to earth and became flesh, okay? And through the Word, we receive faith. Paul told Timothy, "The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So we receive our faith through studying the Word. The Holy Spirit works through that. The Bible is often compared to seed, and in 1 Peter 1:23, Peter writes, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of an imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." So through the Word of God, the seed is planted. The question is, what kind of soil are we? Are we rocky, hard soil? Are we fertile soil? You know, I'm thinking about that. Usually, if you're going to plant something, you have to beat up the soil, right? And what kind of people are generally open to receiving Jesus Christ? The ones who have been beaten up, right? James 1:21, "Humbly accept the word implanted in you, which can save you." And I think that's a description of the soil we need to be. We need to have humility. We need to be humble. And if you look at the world today, isn't that missing? Pastor Harry talked about that Christian actor who was persecuted because he believed the Bible was the Word of God. There's an arrogance, you know, that if we believe this is the Word of God, somehow we're ignorant, you know. Well, who's really ignorant? And I wonder, a lot of these people who are condemning this, have they read it? That would be the first question we should ask. Have you read it? From cover to cover, have you read it? And what do you think their answer would be? No. But we know, right? There's an arrogance. So humility. And I push humility quite a bit because I think it's lacking in the Christian church. And we really need to humble ourselves to experience God in a powerful way. Number two, it eradicates guilt. How many people here have ever felt guilty? Everybody, right? It cleanses us from guilt. God's Word is like soap. It disinfects us. Ephesians 5:25-26. "Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy." And who's the church? We are, right? "Cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word." You having guilt problems? Go to God's Word, right? John 15. Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you." You are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you. Now, don't expect the world to say you're not guilty, all right? Go ahead, next slide, please. No, it's not there. Okay. The point, no, I didn't get the note there. This is very important. Others are going to want to throw that guilt right back on you. All right? You'll say, I'm a Christian, I've been cleansed. And they'll say, ah, no, I know you, Rick. And Satan is using them, and they don't know it, okay? But don't let the world throw that guilt back on you, all right? It doesn't belong to you. It's been taken by Jesus to the cross, all right? And don't expect forgiveness from the world. They're going to continually point the finger at us. But it doesn't matter. All that matters is what God thinks, all right? And what God thinks is that you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. We are children of God. We've been washed. As far as guilt and being accused, who's the accuser? Satan. And he's going to use people, right? Don't listen to people, all right? Amen?
Amen.
Number three, it activates my faith. Amen. Faith is word activated. The promise of God raises our expectations. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Have you ever heard the word taught and you felt encouraged or lifted up, raised up? Absolutely, yes, right? Or you read a Bible verse and it just hits you, it's the right verse for the right time, right? So it activates our faith. But it doesn't all just happen all at once, right? And Moses writes about this in Exodus 23. I will not give you the whole land in a single year because you wouldn't be able to handle it. Instead, you will overtake it little by little until you have grown enough to take possession of it all. And Pastor, doesn't that sound like the journey of a pastor? Just little by little. And yesterday, in the jail it came to me, I used my example of my Spanish. Because when I first started speaking Spanish, we did a bilingual service at Concordia. My Spanish sucked. Not that it's excellent now, but I mean it was really bad. I didn't even bother to enunciate it the way that the Spanish, for example, they say ah instead of a. I just read it as a. So I was a gringo reading the Spanish. And they never criticized my Spanish, all right? Which is amazing, all right? But slowly, after 10 years, okay, now I'm completely fluent. That's a joke, all right? You got it because you were on the Crucio weekend. Right? I'm not fluent, but I'm getting there. And that's the same thing with our faith. It's just a little bit at a time. And the Lord just keeps leading us and leading us. And pretty soon we look back and we go, wow, I can't believe that's how I used to pronounce Spanish, you know? So, anyway, number four, it stimulates my growth. Acts 20, I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. An inheritance is we get all that rightly belongs to us as God's child. Now, what do we do in order to receive an inheritance? Nothing. Somebody has to die, right? Jesus died for us. We have the inheritance. So we're God's children now because of Jesus Christ. And in regard to that guilt thing, remember that. We are children of God. And nothing's going to change that. What people think and say doesn't matter. All right? 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Next one, please. This is up here. Yes, okay. Teaching, it shows the path to walk on. Rebuking shows how we got off the path. Correcting shows how to get back on the path. And training, how to stay on the path. Now, the church in recent times has been doing number one. But they've forgotten number two, three, and four. Right? We've been showing the path to walk on. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Right? But we don't show how we got off the path. We don't show how to get back on the path. We don't show how to stay on the path. We're simply pointing, Jesus is the way. That's only part of the message, right? It's a big part, yes. It gets us started, all right, for the rest, all right? But the others are necessary also, right? For all of us. For pastors as well as lay people, everyone. Number five, and Pastor Perry will be talking about this later next week, more in depth. It illuminates my mind. Don't you love that? Illuminates my mind. You know what that reminds me of? As you know, I'm a movie buff. The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones, okay? Sean Connery was he shot or stabbed? I think he was shot. He was shot, and he's dying. So they get the cup of Christ, the cup that Christ had at the Last Supper, supposedly, and they fill it full of water, and they pour the water on his wound, and he's healed, right? And then this temple crashes in, and they're all miraculously saved, and the cup ends up falling down somewhere or something, but they all get out alive except for the bad guys, okay? And, you know, it's an Indiana Jones movie, so they've been through all this garbage, all right? And Indiana Jones asks Sean Connery, who's his dad, so what did you get out of all this? And Sean Connery says,
yeah,
I can't say it with a person. Illumination. Illumination. And what he's talking about is this New Age stuff, right? And he can't say, Jesus Christ, right? Because it was the cup of Christ that healed him, you know, and we don't want to go there. So let's sound really intelligent and we'll say, illumination, all right? Isn't that how the world is, though? You know? You can't just say Jesus, okay? And shouldn't he, out of all of it, shouldn't Indiana Jones and his dad gotten Jesus out of that? No, okay? Didn't happen, but that's Hollywood, all right? I don't know how I got there anyway. Psalm 119. This is Christian illumination, and this is what true illumination is, okay? Understanding your word brings light in the minds of ordinary people. Psalm 119 again. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Studying and reading God's word gives us light in the darkness. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Up at camp, we'll go walking at night sometime up at Doc and Liz's cabin, and we need flashlights, right? And where do we shine the flashlights? In the trees? No. Well, you really need to know this. Because she fell and broke her leg, okay? We shine it down on the path, right? And that's what God's Word is for us, right? It's a flashlight, all right? So we can see in the darkness, so we know where we're going, so we don't fall. I'll never forget when I quit drinking and I started reading God's Word. One of the first verses I came upon was in Corinthians, and it said, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, tell me that didn't hit me like a ton of bricks, okay? Somebody put the high beam on the road for me, all right? But God's Word is a light. Once again, Psalm 119, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Number six, it elevates my mood. Whenever you get discouraged, you need a word break. Romans 15:4, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Psalm 119, you're my place of quiet retreat. I wait for your word to renew me. Have you really ever really gone through a tough time and you read God's word? That's like an anchor, right? I suffer from depression, as some of you might know. But Depression's a real thing, okay? It's like there's a dark cloud over your head, all right? But God's Word can lift your spirits, all right? Recently, as you guys know, most of you, we've been having kid problems like a lot of people. Our kids are a little more mature, but you always worry about your kids. And what I've discovered is at night when I go to bed, I have a copy of the New Testament on CD, and I listen to it as I'm going to sleep. And there's power in the Word to lift your spirits. It lifts your spirits like nothing else will. And I encourage you to get in the Word, especially if you're feeling down. All right? Amen? Number 7, it liberates my potential. Only God knows how to unlock your full potential. John 8:31-32, if you continue in my Word, then you are truly my the disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Isn't that wonderful? To be set free. Another example, I keep pointing to myself. I should point to Pastor Perry. I'll point to Pastor Perry. No. Okay. Many years ago, I was in sales. I was making good money, and more money than I'm making now. But I was drinking, you know. And I had everything the world could offer you, okay? But I had the booze, all right? And if I would have continued in that, I probably would have lost, first of all, Robin and the boys, and I would have lost my job eventually, and who knows, I probably wouldn't be alive today, all right? Because the way I drank, my liver would have been shot, and even you couldn't have helped me, Doc, all right? So, well, maybe, okay. But 27 years ago, the Lord moved in my life, and I never would have thought, okay, I've been to like 10 years of postgraduate work now. I'm a reverend doctor and a pastor, okay. I've probably touched hundreds, if not thousands, of lives. I've written 2 books, and it's not me, okay? It's not me. But God knew the potential in me, all right? Even when I was getting plowed every night, He knew the potential in me. He knows our potential and what we can do. Not what we are now, but what we can be. And thanks be to God for that. So would you like to have your life recreated, your guilt eradicated, your faith activated, growth stimulated, mind illuminated, I didn't say that with a British accent, mood elevated, and your potential liberated? It's all in God's Word. And the answer to all those is yes, right? So how do we gain these benefits? Number 1, learn it. Mark chapter 12, Jesus said, your trouble is that you don't know the Scriptures. Most of our troubles come from not knowing the Bible. Our problem is our response to life situations. The Bible tells us how to act in every situation, right? If we study God's Word, we'll know how to react. And rather than being driven along by life, we'll have a giant rudder that God provides to guide us, right? Once again, Pastor Perry and I want you to read your Bibles 15 minutes a day to start, okay? I told the guys in jail yesterday, though, for you guys it's 15 hours a day, because you have nothing else to do. So, okay, 15 minutes a day. Just take 15 minutes a day to read your Bible. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the changes that come in your life. You'll be amazed at the wisdom of God that you find in this Word, because it speaks to us in our lives and where we're at and what we're going through. Number 2, accept it as my authority, accepted as the authority in our life. 1 Thessalonians, I love this verse. When you receive the Word of God, what you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as it actually is the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. And the problem with the Christian church today is many churches don't believe that this is the Word of God. They believe it's a book written by a bunch of different authors. Rick Warren says, that means I accept its authority in my life There are things in the Bible I don't understand, but I accept it. There are things in the Bible I don't like, but I accept it. There are things in the Bible that are inconvenient, but I accept it. There are things in the Bible I wish God had not said, but I accept it. Man, isn't there things in the Bible you wish God hadn't said? Because God is God, and I'm not. And the biggest problem, I believe, in the world today, people don't believe this is God's Word. They mock it. Newscasters mock it. The media mocks it. And you know what's really weird is, I was talking with my nephew last night, and he's completely indoctrinated with what he hears on the media. It's almost like he's brainwashed. And it's amazing the power they have. What? Because he's a bright young man. What struck me is, he really believes this stuff. He really believes it, you know? And the attack on the Bible today is amazing. And the media can win the battle, all right? Unless we stand up, all right? And say, no, that's not true. And confront them with some real questions. Do you believe, or have you read it from cover to cover? Number one. Do you believe there's a heaven or hell? If not, what's going to happen after you die? I know what's going to happen after we die, all right? Because I'm a fundamentalist, all right? So don't buy what they're selling, folks, all right? Number three, act on it. John 13, Jesus said, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them, right? He wasn't just a good teacher that gave us some wonderful things to quote, right? He wanted to change our lives where we take action on it. G. Campbell Morgan was a profound British preacher, very famous. And he had four sons, and they all became pastors. So he influenced, you know, millions of people with his writings, and then his sons becoming pastors on top of it. And they asked his youngest son, Howard, who was a very successful preacher also, who was the best preacher in the family? He said, there's five preachers in your family. Which one's the best preacher? And they figured that he would say his father. And he said, my mom. And the reason he said my mother, okay, my mom, is because that was the best example of God's love lived out, okay? The mother's love was lived out. Even this pastor was a brilliant preacher and everything. He did not live out the love of God the way that this pastor's mother had, all right? So be doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word. And finally, our prayer today would be, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. And look at it for what it is. It's the Word of God. It's not something to fear or worry that it's going to hammer you, although there's times when that happens. It's going to change our lives for the better. And the depths of the wisdom in this book is just amazing. It can't be fathomed. Some of the most brilliant minds in the history of humankind have believed this is the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, you want to lead us in prayer?
Sure. Lord, we ask for a revival in our nation regarding your Word. We ask for another reformation, not just in the church, but in your world, an awakening, Lord. We ask that you bring society back to you. We ask, Lord, that you'd bring Christians into the different mountains of influence, including media, entertainment, sports, business, education. Lord, that you'd bring Christians that would be your voice and bring your illuminating word into these various areas, Lord. We ask that you would liberate people from the brainwashing that is going on, that you call us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we renew our minds through your word. So Lord, help us to wash the world out of our self and be washed by your word and be cleansed, Lord. It's so easy for all of us to get sucked into the world and go along with it. Lord, forgive us for going along and wasting precious years of our lives in the world. But you do redeem us. You forgive us. We thank you for that. That message of encouragement, good hope, fresh hope in your word. So Lord, activate our faith, but also our hope and our love. Activate faith, hope, and love, and joy, and peace through your word, Lord.
Mm.
Help us to go back to it. Help us to encourage one another. We all have battles, and we need each other as well. When we get down, that someone come alongside and raise us up, and then we lift them up and encourage them. We never know the power of our life and the power of our words at the right time to give someone hope and lift them up. So Lord, we ask that you continue to activate faith, hope, love, joy through your word. Lord, in your mercy, well, we thank you, Lord, for your word. May we always treasure it and use it and live it. In Jesus' name, amen.